This message this morning is an encouragement to each and every one of you, to each and every one that is a believer in Christ, a disciple of Christ, one that follows God. This message is a message for every true disciple of Christ. You see what I mean as we go through it. And I don't know how much you do take note of messages, or you have this amazing memory that you could remember things. But my encouragement to you this morning is take note of this message and in a way that you could remember it somehow, the key points. As I bring them out, as we go down through this chapter, take note, because you're going to need it. Every child of God is going to need this message sometime in your life, periodically. Some seem to need it more than others. Some feel like they live in it for a longer season than others. And you might say you don't need it today, but my encouragement, my strong encouragement to you is to take note of it, keep it in your pocket. You're going to need it. If you are a child of God, you're going to need this message. If you want to follow God, if you want to be conformed to His image, trust me, you're going to need it. 2 Chronicles. Verse 1, it came to pass after this also that the children of Moab, the children of Ammon, with them other beside the Ammonites, came against Jehoshaphat to battle. Now Jehoshaphat, he became king when he was 35 years old, and he reigned for 25 years. Well, here, the allies, these other countries, neighboring countries, they were coming up against him, Jehoshaphat. He was the king of Judah at this point, this time. This happened about approximately 900 BC when this took place, before the time of Christ. Well, he tells us here that the Moabites and the Ammonites, and also, if you jump down to verse 10, it talks about the children of Seir, which these are all relatives of Abraham. The Moabites, they were descendants of Lot. Lot had this ancestral relationship with his daughter, and the older daughter had a child for his father, Lot. And that first one name was Moab, which you find in Genesis 19:37, and then in Genesis 19:38, it tells us that the younger one had a son also for her father, which then the Ammonites came from them. And Seir, they're the Seir, if I'm saying that right, they're the descendants of Abraham from the son of Esau, which is a descendant of Abraham also. So they were distant relatives. The distant relatives, they were coming up against the children of Judah. They were coming up against Jerusalem. Jehoshaphat, what did he do? What did he do? Where did he look to? What was his response? In a time of crisis, in a time of despair, when the wave seems boisterous and it's coming against you, what do you do? You might be in the shower, taking a shower and as you're taking a bath, and you realize, uh-oh, there's a lump here that I didn't see before or felt before. What is it? So you go to the doctor and diagnose you, and then they give you the prognosis, and you say, I need God. God, help me. Health. I'm speaking about health. Inner health. We find that at times. We hear about it. You might have never been at that place yet, but hey, you live on planet Earth. Quite possibly, you're going to have a time where your health, something's wrong with you physically. And you'll be in a place where you say, I need God. I need God. Or at work, in your marriage, in church life, someone, some loved one passed away suddenly. And you're in a place where you say, I need God. How do I find God? How do I find grace in this time? How do I see you, Lord? How can I lay hold of you? In the world, ye shall have tribulation. He said, but be of good cheer. I, Christ Jesus, had overcome. He said, I have overcome. God's word meets us wherever we are. These bright and sunny and shiny days, God's word is there for us. And in the dark days, God's word is there for us too. And in the in between, as this great army, huge army was coming against them. They were just a couple miles away. Verse 2, then came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, there cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea of this side of Syria. Behold, they are in Hazon Tamar, which is in Gidai. Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaim a fast throughout Judah. See, a lot of people love God. A lot of people follow God. They want to serve God. But they just don't know how to find God in a time of need, in a time of crisis, in a time of tribulation, in a time when you feel like you're going to be washed away with the waves of life, circumstances, situations, issues, problems. It feels overwhelmed. And a lot of believers, they don't know. How do you find God? How do you find grace in that time? This message is a message of encouragement and how we do find grace in a time of need. This situation was coming up upon them so fast. Perhaps they didn't know that these guys that were out here cahooting against them. Perhaps they were totally ignorant to it. And it's like us going through life. We refer to it sometimes as curveballs been thrown at us. Or you're driving, you're coasting down the road of life, and you think, oh yeah, this is a straight here for miles ahead, and here comes a curve. Suddenly, some situation in life, and you feel like you could hardly make the curve without flipping. Where's God? Well, he said here, Jehoshaphat feared. What did he do? Take note of the key points. He set himself to seek the Lord. He set himself to plug into something much bigger, much greater. You hear the saying? Big God, small problem. Big problem, small God. which is your perspective, which is my perspective. Many times we struggled. Big problem. Small God, you know. God, you can't handle it. It's huge. It's humongous. Because I can't, so God can't, you know. Small God. Big problem. Big God. Small problem. He set his face to set himself to seek the Lord. And he fasted. He fasted. Fasting is abstaining from food for biblical reason, in a simple term. And if we'd go to, say, raise hands, who fasted in the last year? Would your hand remain on your lap? Or is this just something old, you know? It's not necessary. We know how to cope through life without needing to fast. Abstaining to what it is. It's denying the physical so the spiritual could be enhanced. Jehoshaphat, under the old covenant, as we look at this, he knew a key points and key step in finding grace in time of need, in finding God. He tells us here, he set himself to seek the Lord and he fasted. You find fasting 47 times in the Old Testament and approximately 27 times in the New Testament. And we know that fasting, as you look at it in Isaiah chapter 58, that you could fast for the wrong reasons too. Right? As we look at it there, you could fast to try and impress God, or you could fast to maybe because you want to lose weight. Or you could fast to present yourself as to be something more spiritual than who you are. And we know what Jesus had to say to those kind of people. Matthew 23. Had you ever stopped to think about it that if Jesus fasted, why, and he's our great example, why does that exempt me? Well, why wouldn't I? And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. They united in prayer. Even out of all the city of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court and said, O Lord, our Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven? Rulest not thou over the kingdoms of the heaven? And in thine hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? See here, they decided they're going to pray. They're going to seek God. They're not just going to fast. but pray also. And many times you find it in Scripture, fasting and praying, it goes together. It goes together. And so they gathered together and said, we're going to seek the Lord. We're going to seek His face. We're going to look to Him. We're going to plug into something bigger than ourselves because trouble is upon us. Trouble is upon us. Whether it's individually or collectively, tribulation will come. Tough times will come. The wave's going to come in like a tsunami upon your life. What are you doing? Where are you looking? Well, they look to the Lord. You know, in life, not always, or would you say, always, is it always that things happen the way God wants it to happen? No. You know what's one of the awesome thing and the beautiful thing about knowing God and following God and seeing how He works is that even though when things happen that God wouldn't want to happen, He takes those things to make and accomplish what He wants to happen, happen. You got that? That's one of the awesome things about serving our Lord. Even when things happen that God doesn't want to happen, we can think of many things like that. He takes those things and make happen. He accomplish what He wants to happen, happen. And this is what we see here played out in this story. They pray. They look to the Lord. They communicated with God. And as we look at this prayer here, you're going to see how they worship. They acknowledge God. They were reminding God of who He was. And that's what we do. And this is one of the beauty about our memory. We don't like to remember bad things. And things that aren't so nice. And we wish we could kind of go down there in the file, pull it up, you know, press delete. And then go to the trash bin and make sure it's deleted. It's out. It's gone. It's not there anymore. That's what we would want to do with the memory. But there's a good part about the memory that God has given us is so that we remember where we came from. We remember how He brought us out of the miry clay. We remember how He put our feet upon a rock. We remember how He led us out of captivity, Egypt, through the Red Sea, baptism, through the wilderness, time of testing, over Jordan, into Canaan, the promised land, a place of rest. And we remember where God brought us from and His goal in mind and where He's taking us. And we remind God, I remember how You came through for us when we really sought You, Lord, and we sought after You, and how You came through for us and You answered our prayer. And Jehoshaphat was doing this. He was reflecting back on what God had done for them, who He is. Don't you remember? Look at the prayer. Art thou not our God, verse 7, who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel and gavest it to the seed of Abraham, thy friend, forever? God, don't you remember? And they dwelt therein and have built thee a sanctuary therein for thy name, saying, Isn't this yours, Lord? Am I not yours? Are you going to let me be crushed and destroyed? Isn't this your church? Isn't this your people, oh God? If one evil cometh upon us as a sword, judgment, or pestilence, or famine, we stand before this house and in thy presence and cry unto thee our affliction, then thou wilt hear and help. They knew where to look, which direction to look. You remember Peter was on the water, looking at Jesus. All was going well. Took his eyes off the Lord. He looked at the waves, the situation, the crisis, the tribulation, the issues, the conflict.
You begin to go down. You begin to go down. Well, these men here, they knew where to look. He said, "We cry unto you out of affliction, Lord." Peter did that too. He turned back his eyes to the Lord and said, "Help me." Jesus reached down, pulled him out, and said, "Thou wilt hear and will help." He was praying this with faith and confidence. God, we've seen you move before many times. We can't understand it. We can't see the big picture. But we want to trust you. We want to look to you. And these armies, these distant relatives that was coming against them, a big army, a couple miles away, several miles away. And these guys, they knew where to look. So they fasted. They prayed. They seek God. "And now behold, the children of Ammon and Moab, of Mount Seir, whom thou wouldest not let Israel invade." As you find back in Deuteronomy, when they were passing through, the Lord said, "No, no, just leave these guys over here. Don't destroy them." So they went around them. They didn't wipe them out. Now these same fellows that they spared their lives way back then, and they were wiping out everything in their paths, they're coming back after them now. So Jehoshaphat is like, "Lord, these same people that you said we should leave alone, they're coming back after us now." "Whom thou wouldest not let Israel invade," verse 10, "when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and destroyed them not." Jehoshaphat wasn't back then, right? But so he's reminding the Lord, this is what's in the record here. This is what's been passed down to us, that this took place. "Behold, I see how they reward us." Look, Lord, look at the, how they're trying to do evil for the good we've done for them. We meant the best for them. Now they're turning against us. They want to cast out your people. They want to wipe them out. They want to take away our possession, which thou hast given us to inherit. Oh, our God, will thou not judge them? For we have no might. Look at this man, how honestly he's praying. This is one of the keys about praying. Be honest when you pray. Just be rock bottom honest. Tell the Lord. "We have no might," verse 12. Are you following? "We have no might against this great company that cometh against us. Neither know we what to do. But our eyes is upon you." We don't know where to go, what to do, what to say, how to respond. But we're looking to you, Lord. We're looking to you in this time. Whatever you might be facing, whether individually or collectively, whether you as a family, you as a person, we as a church, are we looking to the Lord? Are we looking to the Lord, or where are we looking? You know, when life brings disaster, or we're up against a crisis, a big wave is coming in, what do we do? Sometimes instead of pray, what do? We play. Sometimes I pray, what do? We worry. We worry. Sometimes instead of pray, we occupy ourselves with things. But I'm sure I could say this with confidence to each believer that is here this morning. Each one of you could reflect. Each one of us could reflect back to a time in life or things or situations where we had prayed. We watched God came through. We watched how we witness how powerful prayer is. Right? And yet, why are we so often needed to be reminded? Pray. Commit it to the Lord. Give it to God. Why is it that so many times, even though how effective we do see prayer is, yet it's a tool we don't pick up so easily? Sunshiny days. Who pick up the tool on sunshiny days? No. We want to enjoy the sunshine, right? Not knowing within a moment a dark cloud could sweep over, lightning and thunder, and that sunshiny day could turn to something else. Well, you know, today people are still trying to drive God's people out. They still want to wipe them off the map. Even in the perspective of looking at it from who the Israelites are, you know, you watch some of these surrounding countries. They want to wipe those people out. They just detest them, the Jews. But even Christianity, you find it again and again where these infidels and these ignorant, arrogant men, they said, we're going to wipe them out, we're going to destroy them, we're going to kill them. Nero taught that, I'll burn them. He said, I'll burn them out. They grew more. So people still trying to destroy God's people. Christianity today. Lucifer, Satan, he's out. Kill, steal, and destroy. He wants to. That's on his agenda. He wants to stir others up against God's people. He said, we don't know what to do, God. We don't know what to do. We're lame. We're powerless. We're looking to you. We can't buy our way out. We can't run out. We can't figure it out. We can't fight our way out. God, we're looking to you. Total honest prayer. He was just being honest with his prayer. Our eyes are upon you. You know, until we come to that place, in whatever situation you face with in life, or whatever you might be going through right now, until you come to that place where you lay whole, you put your eyes upon God, the pain will continue to go up, up, up. The despair, the anxiety will continue to remain. Until you and I put our eyes, lay our eyes upon the Lord. Say, God, we don't know what to do, but we're looking to you. We are looking to you. We're plugging into something greater than ourselves, greater than the problem. So, what else should we do? Well, let's continue to read. It said, and Judah stood before the Lord, verse 13, with their little ones, their wives, their children, then upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaniah, the son of Jeriel, the Mattaniah, the Levite, the son of Asa, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation, and he said, look, guys, listen up. All Judah, you inhabitants of Jerusalem, thou King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is the Lord's. Is it for the battle is the Lord's? Tomorrow go ye down against them. Behold, they come up by the cliff of Ziz, and ye shall find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. Ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, he said. Stand. Stand still. We've been reminded of that this morning already. Stand. Another key. Right? We fast. We pray and seek God. And we take our stand. In Christ. In Christ. You see that in verse 5. He said, and Jehoshaphat stood. Verse 6. He said, God, none is able to withstand you. Verse 13. And all Judah stood before the Lord. And then here in verse 17. And he shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourself. Stand. Ye still. And one of those great examples that had really blessed my life over the years in studying the Word of God and looking at men who did stood was Daniel. How did Daniel, what did he do? Right? Don't you think he had like a tsunami coming in upon him? Well, he was taken away from Jerusalem, the place of worship, the hometown, where he found security to a measure. Taken away from that. He was taken away from his family, his loved ones, to captivity over here. He'd be like, oh, I can't stand it anymore. Just give up and give in. He stood. He stood even away from home. I've been challenged many times in my life in that area, you know. Standing. Even when you're away from those that knows you. Yeah. Seems like the propensity to sin or to give in, to peer pressure or something, things in life that maybe you were standing for over here, when you go over here and no one is like really looking over your shoulder and like no one in your view or within close proximity of seeing you not stand. And then you feel like, I could give in now for a little because is not hearing, is not hearing, is not hearing, is not seeing me. But they stood, they took their stand. And that this was the encouragement from God himself. In Exodus 9:13, and the Lord said unto Moses, rise up early in the morning, stand before Pharaoh and say unto him, thus saith the Lord God of the Hebrews, let my people go that they may serve me. 1 Corinthians 16:13 said, watch ye, stand fast in the faith. Quick you like men, be strong. Ephesians 6:13, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. 1 Thessalonians 3:8, for now we live, if we stand fast in the Lord. This is important. It is important to stand. But you got to make sure, too, you know what you're standing for. Right? Is it biblical? What I'm standing for. Is it biblical or is it just mere preferential? Is this something God's word says? Stand then. You stand for it. Use your God-given spiritual backbone. But some things we do instead of stand is we live in denial. We live in denial. We say, oh, there's no issues. No, there's not really an issue. No, no. Or we shift it. We say, well, maybe there is an issue, but it's not mine. Or things we do instead of standing, we run. Ah. We run. I can't handle Babylon.
Jerusalem.
Back to Jerusalem. If we could, right? If we could. We've run. Is it worth standing for? You face with something in life and waves are blowing against you and maybe friends, peer pressure. And is it worth standing for? It's biblical. Stand. Is it a word from God? Stand. You know, we have to watch out for when we're trying to stand. Sometimes you have the naysayers, they come in, right? Did God really say? You know, how did he say it? Had God really said? Is it really so? Do you think it's necessary? Yes. Watch out for them. The naysayers, or you have also the ones that just know the half of the story, but they know just exactly why you don't need to stand. And then you have also the softies, the ones that don't even really take stand for things in life. And they come along and they try to influence you. It's okay, you know. It's okay. Just give in. Let's just pass this. Let's just ignore this. Let's just overlook this. No. If it's biblical, take a stand. It's God's word, take a stand. And I don't want to encourage you in the wrong way, because there's some things that is just mere preferential. And we could think, or we would want to impose upon others to stand in it. But what is truth? What is God's word? What's going to protect you and keep you? So when you stand for what you know is truth, when you stand because you know God's word said it. And we see many examples. And men in the Old Testament, Elijah was another one of them. He stood. And at his place of standing, he was, his emotions kind of got the better part of him there after this great Mount Carmel experience. And he said, "I'm the only guy that is standing." And the Lord said, No. You're not the only one that is standing. What makes you think so?" And the Lord kind of gave him a bit of instruction or encouragement there. And but that's who we are sometimes, you know. We could just have a Mount Carmel experience in life. Watch God answer by fire. In a miraculous way, he moved. And then a woman, you know, it was a woman that came along and told Elijah, "Say, I'll make you just like these prophets by such and such time." The fella put his tail between his leg and he took off, and the emotions got a hold of him, and he was, went into a cave. 3 days journey into the wilderness. And we do that sometimes. God just showed himself strong on our behalf. And the next moment, we're 3 days journey in the wilderness. In a cave. Lord, come along. "Well, what are you doing here?" We'd be like, "Well, didn't you see? You pull back the gate and allow that flood to come in upon me." Let's stand. Let's stand. We do not. He said, "You shall not need to fight in this battle. But stand. Take your stand. Ye shall see the salvation of the Lord with you." And you watch it. Whenever the child of God stands, and leave it to the Lord, you watch how He miraculously moves on your behalf. He does. See the salvation of the Lord, O Judah and Jerusalem. Fear not. Are you taking note? Nor be dismayed. Say, don't fear. Don't get overwhelmed. Don't get despair. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. The Lord will be with you. That's one of the key things, right? And when you're standing, you're not standing in yourself, but in the Lord. You're abiding in Him, and Him in you. Jehoshaphat bowed his head and his face to the ground, and all Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord. They worship Him. God, You are God. You're God Almighty. We don't know this situation seems so big and overwhelmed. Whether it's health, whether it's something in your marriage, in your home, with your children, something at the workplace, in the church. They decided, we'll worship God. And then verse 19 here. It said, and the Levites, the children of the Kohites, and of the children of the Kohites stood up to praise the Lord God Israel with a loud voice on high. These are the musical guys here. Whatever you want to call it. Singers, they begin to sing, they begin to praise. They rose up early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness at Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, inhabitants of Jerusalem, believe. Next key word. Fast, you pray, you stand, you believe. Have faith. Have faith. He said, believe in the Lord your God, so shall He be established. Believe His prophets, so shall he prosper. When he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord that should praise the beauty of the holiness. And as they went out before the army to say, praise the Lord, for His mercy endureth forever. So these, not a key word, praise. They believe, not in themselves, but in God. They believe, not in their intellect and their own understanding, but they were acknowledging God. They weren't trusting in their own ways, their own army, their own selves. You know, as this army was coming up against them, don't you think some of them maybe would have felt tempted to run? Escape the city. Run, because we're no match for this big, huge army that is coming against us. We're no match. I do believe there were some that, if they were like me, some in there like me, they would have been tempted to run. Escape! But they stood together and decided, we'll face it together. That amazed me as I look at it here. Jehoshaphat encouraged them. This one man prophesied, spoke truth into the hearts of the children of God and said, look, this is what we need to do. The battle is the Lord's. We just need to stand. We need to stand. The battle is the Lord. And that's the encouragement I give to you this morning. Let's stand. Let's stand in Him. And the story goes on. As they praise, they begin to praise. I don't know. You can imagine the loud. He said loud singing. They were praising the Lord. And these fellows that were over here, that were cahooting together to come against Judah, then begin to turn on each other. You know what? I don't like you. You know? I don't like you. I had an issue with you back then, and we're out here. Let's settle it. And these guys begin to fight with each other, kill each other. And when they're, it's like, I don't know exactly how it happens, but as I'm reading it, I'm just seeing that two of them decided, let's kill out this one. And then they wiped out that one. And then they turn upon each other and say, I don't like you either. Cling, 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 cling. And they got wiped out. When they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambush against the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. For the children of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, maybe that's where I got that from, utterly to slay and destroy them. They said, well, let's wipe them out totally. And they cahoot then against this fellow that was coming up with them. And the inhabitants of Seir, everyone to help destroy one another. And verse 29, after it was all said and done, it took these guys a couple of days to pick up the spoil. Just show you how God, now that him that is able, he said, to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that you ask or think. This was him in action. God in action here. Doing above and beyond what you could even think. What they could even think. They picked up the spoil for 3 days. Verse 29, and the fear of God was on all the kingdoms of those countries when they had heard that the Lord fought against the enemies of Israel. Saints, believers, followers of Christ, the enemy is out to destroy us. He wants to wipe us. Wipe us out, spiritually speaking. Let's fast. Let's pray. Let's take our stand, believe, and praise God, from whom all blessings flow. And trust Him to do as He said He would. Ephesians 3:20. I close with this. Now unto Him, look unto Him, trust in Him, walk with Him, abide in Him, that is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus, throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we thank you for your word, and thank you for this message too, Lord, that as I heard someone shared on it, had blessed me, Lord, and I share it too here with the church this morning. And Father, we just commit our ways to you, Lord, and we ask that your Spirit would come down, Lord, and I trust that it had already been meeting those who have a humble and honest heart to receive of you, and Lord, that you would meet them in wherever they are in their situation and their place, Lord, and whatever they might be facing in life, and also us as a church, Lord, that we would truly Lord, we would abide in you, O God. Hold on to your hands. Trust in you. You would take us through, Lord. Take us through whatever, Lord, might seem big or boisterous or windy or blowing in our lives, Lord, that we could walk it through in you, in your name, and you plant your love in our hearts, O God. And We just ask these things in the strong, mighty, awesome, wonderful name of our King, Jesus. Amen. May the Lord bless.